Good afternoon and welcome to the official groundbreaking for White's Livery Apartments. I'm Linda Sharenza. I'm the Executive Director at Westside Neighbor Housing Services, a NeighborWorks America Charter member, and Black Rock Riverside Neighbor Housing Services. We work together to offer safe, affordable housing to all. As not everyone is ready or wants to become a homeowner, this exciting project will offer 14 affordable units for rent. I would like to recognize some of the elected officials who helped further this project. If the official is not here but a representative of their offices and I might not recognize your face, please raise your hand. We'll start with the Honorable Mayor Byron Brown, Congressman Brian Higgins, Housing and Community Renewal, Upstate Director of Capital Development, Lenny Skrill, representing Commissioner Darrell Towns, who unfortunately could not make it here today, HCR Project Manager Dan Peters, State Senator Tim Grisanti, State Senator Tim Kennedy, State Senator Mark Grisanti. Sorry, Tim and Mark. Well, half right. I'm old and getting senile. Yes, you look so much alike. That's what it is. Councilmember David Rivera and Councilmember Joe Golombek, and especially the patient neighbors of this building who have waited so long for it to come to fruition. There are also members of the Westside or Black Rock Riverside Board of Directors, Mike Piro, Debbie Lombardo, Dan Hawalczyk, Nick Bonifacio, and a special thank you to my amazing staff who allow me to do these types of things and make me look good, but they do all the background work. Next, I'd like to introduce Sam Savarino. I can't even get that name right. Sam Savarino. You better not put that on the news. Sam Savarino. He is a generous man who saved this historically significant building from being demolished. He got a call late one night and came out and did his due diligence and bought the building, partnered with us, and we have a myriad of partners for funders. I'll let someone else explain all of that. But if it wasn't for him, this would not be project would not be happening. And I'll turn it over to him because he could pronounce names better, and he'll talk a little bit more in detail about the project. Thank you.
I can pronounce my own name better. Maybe not everybody else's. Thank you, Linda. And thank you for your kind words. But I do know if this was about me or even primarily about me and my efforts, none of us would be here today. There's a lot of people in different ways and at different times that are responsible for the new beginning we're celebrating in this site today. There's a story that goes with this building here, or what's left of this building, and if I can be allowed to tell it, I'd like to. There are some parts I might miss, some parts I might not get right, but there is a story to tell here. This building was built in the late 1800s as a livery. It was known as White Brothers Livery, and it stood and was used for various things over the years, including a storage building for cars and as a filling station. As often happens with buildings like this in the city, it fell into desuetude and disrepair. And over the years, the seeds of its own demise were taking root in the building. The brick was deteriorating, and it got to the point many years ago, or several years ago, where the brick actually started falling off the building and into the yards of the neighbors. That started a whole chain of events. which included a city order for emergency demolition of the building in the interest of public safety. At that point, a group of people from this immediate neighborhood got together. They literally fought City Hall and brought the issue to the table that maybe some part of this building could be preserved. It didn't have to be totally demolished. And this building has served for years is an integral part of this neighborhood, not just its facade out front, its iconic facade, which is historically significant, and the tower, but the back walls of the facility form the backyards of a number of houses in the rear of the premises here. And demolishing this building would have had a very deleterious effect on this neighborhood. The city heard the argument. And the city understood it, and matter of fact, I'll go into that in a little detail in a little while, but and a therapeutic demolition was ordered of the building. The parts that needed to be torn down to protect the public were torn down and taken away. The parts that could be restored and saved were saved. So right now you have right behind us here the Romanesque facade that is being saved, the towers and the walls, and maybe some of the back walls as well. And what you're going to see constructed on this site are 14 apartment units. There will be 12 one-bedroom units and two-bedroom units. And on the first floor of this facility, there will be indoor parking. The apartments are meant to service people at or below a certain level of the area median income. So they are affordable apartments for the area. So they're going to be available to a wide demographic in this area, and they follow the city's comprehensive plan. The funding for this project primarily comes, or for the most part, comes from the state of New York. As you can probably tell by looking at the sign behind me, from the Department of Homes and Community Renewal, which used to be called DHCR, as part of a unified funding application. And there is a significant a portion of the funding that comes through city home funds administered through the office of Byron Brown. There is also a loan on the project from Five Star Bank, as well as the Federal Home Loan Bank. I mentioned before that state funding was a significant part of that, and I'm glad that we have our state senator here to say a few words today, Tim Kennedy.
Thank you very much. First of all, congratulations to you, Sam Savarino. I mean, this is an extraordinary day in the history of the city of Buffalo in Western New York, but particularly the West Side community. This is a uniquely Buffalo story, a neighborhood seeing a historic gem that had deteriorated, taking matters into their own hands, preserving the culture of this community and, in fact, protecting the future of this community by calling out and in a unified voice to protect and preserve. And it's fascinating, really, to think that we're here on the heels of the National Conference of Historic Preservation that came right here to the city of Buffalo, over 2,000 people to look at the gems, the architecture of this great community that we all live in and we all love, and bring that back to their communities across the entire nation. My belief is that when those folks come back, we'll be celebrating this as another victory of a neighborhood in this community, this great city of Buffalo, pulling itself up by the bootstraps, making something, making, quite frankly, lemonade out of lemons, and really fighting to protect the fabric of this community. And you know, you can have all the funding in the world, but if you don't have the vision promote that funding to do great things to improve the quality of life for the community, the funding is not going to do anything. So because of Sam Savarino's vision for this facility, I'm looking forward to coming back here and cutting the ribbon on it in the near future. So thank you very much, Sam Savarino, and all of those that helped make today a reality. Thank you.
A little more into the story. I got involved with this project. I got a phone call one day from Catherine Herrick, who's standing right there in the blue coat. I had heard a little bit about what was going on out here, and she lives right behind on Summer Street. And she knew that there was an emergency demolition order, that there was a threat to the life and safety of the residents in the area, and some of them had been moved out. But she had the idea that maybe the right thing wasn't being done. And the building could be saved. Over a whirlwind couple of days, I was over here with any number of people trying to make an assessment if that was indeed the case. I was skeptical and I was a little cynical about it, but I was, you know, I could do no less than everybody else was doing at that point to see what was possible for the building. Lo and behold, there were a couple more studied opinions than my opinion about whether the building could be saved, and the impact it would have if it was a total demolition. And so the group went to court, and they succeeded in having a judge, Judge Christopher Burns, force a conversation with the city and the residents about an acceptable level of demolition. Around and about this time, I was out on the site, and once it seemed clear that something could be done to stave off total demolition, the question soon came up about, you know, what are we going to do going forward, and what good was half a building going to be? It was might have been worse than a total demolition. And so I placed a call. Actually, I was standing right about over here, and I placed a call to Byron Brown's cell phone. And the caller ID must have been off because he picked up my call. And I was standing next to Catherine, and he was very patient and very good, and he listened to me tell him about what I thought was going on out here, and I was trying to get it all in within 5 minutes because that's all the time I thought he was going to devote to me to talk about this issue. But I was surprised to find that he was listening and he was understanding. And he didn't take some of the criticisms that I might have leveled to heart. He wanted the right thing to be done. And I asked him, I said, would you help us do the right thing? Can you promise me that? And he said, I promise you that we won't let a bad thing happen out there and the right thing will be done. So I quickly handed the phone to Catherine Herrick and I said, tell her this too. And he did. And here we are today. Well, it wasn't that direct, of course. After this all happened, I received some suggestions on what could be done. I received some strong suggestions that now that the city had stopped the demolition, it was time for me to get in and take a chance and do something over here. So the worm had turned, and in short order, the city was pushing me to get things together. They were certainly willing to make a commitment and be the priority funder for this project, but they needed some private investment as well. And I was happy to do it, and we certainly took an awful lot on trust. But I can say with all confidence that we would not be standing here today if Byron Brown did not pick up the phone, if Byron Brown did not make that promise, and Byron Brown did not fight to have some city home funds directed to this project. So I'd like you to join me in a round of applause as we welcome our mayor, Byron Brown.
Thank you, everyone. Well, certainly today is another preservation victory for the city of Buffalo. And as Senator Kennedy said, we are just coming off of the heels of the National Preservation Conference, where everyone who came to the conference had glowing things to say about the work that has been done in this city, in neighborhoods all across Buffalo, to preserve structures and to preserve our history in this community. I'm very pleased to see some of my partners in government who are here. I want to thank them for their efforts and the work that they're doing. You know, as I said during the preservation conference, preservation needs heroes. Preservation needs people who are going to stand up in different ways and help to make it happen. And oftentimes it's not easy, oftentimes it's complicated, oftentimes it's expensive, and it requires a lot of people to come together to make it happen. I want to recognize one of the heroes who's already been mentioned, Catherine Herrick, but also not just Catherine, all of the neighbors in this immediate area who stepped up and said, we would like to see this structure saved. We think that this is an iconic structure, a historic structure, a structure that's meant a lot to this community, and we want to save it. So Catherine and residents, thank you for your efforts. I want to recognize those people that live in the immediate proximity of the structure, who even with bricks falling into their yards and falling onto their properties, were willing to be patient so that something could be done. And yes, Sam is right. I got the call from him and Catherine. I remember it working just a little bit differently in that I had a very exercised commissioner of permits and inspections, Jim Comerford, who was very concerned about people who lived in proximity to this property and was very concerned about health and safety. And his first words to me when I hung up with Catherine and Sam and said, Commissioner, I want you to stop the demolition, were, his words were, "Mayor, I can't. It's coming down. People's lives are on the line." And I was able to convince him that we had a responsible and reputable developer who was going to step in and do the right thing. So what the city did was we spent a little over $500,000 to do a therapeutic demolition. And to use the money that might have gone into completely taking this property down to stabilize it, to salvage it, and to buy time for Sam to do more of his due diligence to make sure that we had a project that we could go forward with. And another of our preservation heroes certainly is Linda Sciorenza and Sam Savarino, because Sam did get back to me and he said, "We have a project. I think I can save it. I have a vision for how we can move this property forward, but it's going to take even more money from the city of Buffalo." And Sam mentioned our partners in the state government and the federal government, and the money flows through the city. The city had some decisions to make, but it was great being able to turn the tables on Sam and work with our colleagues and be able to provide over $1 million of funds that flow to the city from the federal and state governments for the project, bringing the city's total investment with our partners to over $1.5 million. And then we were able to call Sam on an everyday basis. "Sam, what's happening? Sam, what's the progress looking like? Sam, what are you doing?" I just want to say that this would not have happened without Sam. Yes, the community stepped up. Yes, the city was able to provide money and do something differently. Yes, I was able to stop a demolition that was in progress. But without the vision, without the credibility, without the know-how to make something out of this property, it wouldn't have happened. So, Sam, for that, I am certainly very grateful. I know the neighborhood is very grateful, and the entire city is very grateful for you and Linda and your expertise and your willingness to put yourself on the line. Because I want to make it clear, Sam did not own this building. This building was owned by someone else. And unfortunately, that individual was not a good steward of this property over the years. And in 2008, bricks came crashing down. And Sam was able to assume the responsibility, was willing to assume the responsibility to do something good for the community. So yes, this is a major, major preservation victory for this neighborhood, for this community, and for the entire city of Buffalo. I'm certainly very pleased as mayor to be a part of it. Projects like this continue to happen in every section of the city of Buffalo, and working with some of these great people that are standing up here today and some of you that are standing out in the audience, we're going to continue to get these kinds of projects done to protect and to preserve our heritage and history in the city of Buffalo, because this is a great city. The eyes of the nation and the world were on us last week, and I think we shined very brightly as a community, and Buffalo and Western New York will continue because of great people like this and like you to shine very brightly as a community. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much, Byron. Before we get to Turning Earth, which is going to happen right over here in a little bit, there are a number of people that I think should be acknowledged and deserve a thank you. Of course, the people we see up here. I'd also like to acknowledge State Senator Mark Grisanti, who showed up here. This isn't your district, but you're 200 feet away. So
we're all from Western New York.
Lenny Skrill, who's here from HCR, they provided the majority of the funding for this, and they never get enough acknowledgement, so thank you. So. Uh, The Federal Home Loan Bank, who provided some funding for this project. Five Star Bank, who provided a commercial loan. HUD, who has some approval over things that go on here because they're the ultimate source of all the funds that, we use for something like this. Also, he hasn't been acknowledged yet, but I would like to say a special thank you to David Rivera. He's the councilman for this district. And I went... I attended innumerable meetings with any number of community groups to talk about the project, to inform people about it, to try to elicit some support, and to explain what was going on. I don't think there was a single meeting I was at that David wasn't there as well. So thank you to you and your staff. The Cottage District Neighborhood Association, we dealt with an awful lot of groups around here, but it seemed clear to us that they were taking the lead and being the community stewards for this project. They asked a lot of tough questions. They wanted to know what was going on. They provided a forum for us to communicate with people and to get their feedback on what we were doing over here. So they did a very good job. They're a great organization. Catherine Herrick, who you were introduced to before, and other neighbors around here, I see a few of them. I see Paul Morgan over there. I see Adam. Bunny, you're no longer here, but you were affected more than anybody else around here. There might be some other ones out there. Pardon me?
Val.
Okay. So thank you, and we're sure to be taxing your patience a little more in the future. So feel free to call us if there's anything that we can do for you. Elisa Lukaszewicz, who is no longer with the city, but at the time that I was involved here in the beginning was with the city, and helped to give us some advice and broker what we needed to do, and gave us very good expert advice, by the way. Our consultant who helped us get the funding for the project, Janet Meiselman in Oxford Consulting. Janet couldn't be here today. We worked with her on a number of projects, and she always does great work. The legal firm of Polowitz and Schwach, and Steve Polowitz is here right now. They have done an awful lot of work, and there's a lot of blocking and tackling that needs to get done with funding coming from disparate sources over here, and they're experts at doing it, and they've given us great advice. Our architects for the project, Stieglitz and Snyder Architects. Dave Stieglitz is here, as is Paul Battaglia. Also, Phil Snyder and Brian Cook were helpful. Our interior designer, Jen Wenner, who's here today. And all the people that I work with at Savarino Companies. I say this every time I get a chance to acknowledge it. They're not just great people to work with. They're just great people. And so there are a lot of people who put a lot of work in on this project. John Cirillo, Tim Greenan, my daughter, Julia Spitz, but nobody more than Kevin Hayes from our staff, who has taken ownership of this, and it's been more than a job for him to work on this project. He's been messianic on it, and that's what we needed to get through what we needed to get through to make this a project. So with that, we'll turn some earth. I want to thank everybody for being here today, and I hope you'll come back and join us here for the ribbon cutting next September. Thank you.